Everybody just stand up and stamp your feet for a second. Get that sciatic nerve operating again. When you get to my age, you got to get those things, get a jump start. You know? Praise God. Okay, you may be seated. Let's get right into our weekly confession here, Stephen. Boy, I tell you, quick draw McGraw. Let's declare this together. This word is God speaking to me. This word is God's life being imparted to me. This word is God's incorruptible seed being planted in me. This word is God's authority being delegated to me. This word is God's blessing overtaking me. This word is God's ability empowering me. This word is God's counsel guiding me. This word is God's power of salvation to me. This word is God accomplishing in me that which pleases him. This word is God speaking to me. Now, the word does a lot of things, doesn't it? Yeah. It does. Yeah. It do. Oh, praise God. Well, how are you guys feeling today?
Awesome.
Good.
Great worship again.
Great worship. It was. It was full. It was rich.
Yeah. And welcome Jen.
And welcome Jen. Jen Branscombe to the worship team. Praise God, man. Things are happening. People are joining in and using their gifts. Well, last week we stated that our series text in Isaiah 46, 9 and 10, that we're using a principle of declaring the end from the beginning and applying it to scriptures that exist. You know, there's nothing wrong with taking a scriptural principle and applying it to scripture. But when people take a scriptural principle and apply it to other things, their own desires, their own agenda, their own plans and so forth, it usually falls right on its nose. And but there is power when we take the scripture, let it interpret itself, and let it be applied to where it needs to be. So let's look at some of the implications here in Isaiah 46, verses 9 and 10. God says, remember the former things of old. For I am God and there is none else. I am God, there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning. And from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. This is a big, big verse. It's a key to everything. The New American Standard, he says, my counsel, he says, my plan will be established. So counsel is really God's plan for you. His counsel to you is a revelation of his plan and his purpose for you. My plan will be established. Do you want to be established in his purpose?
Yes.
Do what he says to do. Remember the former things, the things of old. And from ancient times, the things that are not as though they're declaring the end from the beginning. Declaring the, say that, I declare the end from the beginning. My plan will be established and I will accomplish all my good pleasure. You know, from the creation of the heavens and earth, God has always operated this way. He always declared the end from the beginning. You can see in all 6 days of creation that each day represented 1,000 years of human history. Now, how many of you were here back in 2017 when we did that about the end times? People are wondering, is this the end times? What is the end times? Well, the thing is, God has already declared it. It's in the first chapter of Genesis, his plan for human history. Let me give you just a really quick example of that, because things are happening that you need to be aware of. In other words, on the fourth day, God created a greater light to rule the day and a lesser light to rule the night. Now, what does that mean? I thought light be, that was the creation of the sun, right? On the very first, no, that was light. That's light. That he's talking about is the creative force of the universe. On the fourth day, he created the sun and the moon. Our solar system revolves around that sun. And even in Malachi, I think it's chapter 4, where he says, he calls the Messiah to come. He calls him the Son of Righteousness, S-U-N. Big clue. That we need to revolve around him. He doesn't revolve around us. Now, that's the sun. It represents Jesus, the center of our world, the center of our solar system. And then the moon, a lesser light, represents the church. How does that be? Well, we are not that true light, but we reflect the true light into the dark world. And we revolve around this world that revolves around the sun. He is the author of it all. That's just one thing. The fourth day, Jesus came into the world and he said, I am the light of the world. He is the Son of Righteousness. He came into this world on the fourth day. There was 2,000 years from Adam to Abraham, 2,000 years from Abraham to Jesus. 4,000 years, 4 days. Of creation, 4,000 years of human history, Jesus came on the fourth day. And there was an event in Jesus' life. This is powerful. There was an event in Jesus' life where they said, your friend Lazarus is sick. He said, well, okay. And he stayed there for 2 days. He did nothing. For those first 2,000 years, nothing happened from God except judgment. But that came about 350 years before Abraham came into the world. But he had to have, there had to be a judgment on what was going on. Read Rick Renner's book on giants and monsters and demons and the world before the flood. It'll absolutely knock your socks off, the reality of it. Well-researched, everything. Get that book. It's powerful. But for those first 2,000 years, really nothing happened until God made a covenant with Abraham on the 2,000th year of history. Every 2,000 years, there's something powerful happening. So when Jesus stayed there for those 2 days, nothing happened. Then he said, Lazarus, our friend, is sleeping. And they said, well, if he's sleeping, he'll do well. No, he said, Lazarus is dead, and I'm going to go wake him up. So he moved, and by the time he got to the tomb, Lazarus had been dead 4 days. Mankind had been spiritually dead for 4,000 years. 1,000 years as a day? A day is as 1,000 years. This was all in Genesis, that the sun, the light of God, came into this world on the fourth day. The day that he created the sun and the church was created at the same, when he rose from the dead to reflect that light into the dark world. So there's power here. God declares the end from the beginning. I don't have to tell you guys this is the way God operates. I mean, we've pounded that stake into the ground about as hard as we can. But he said, I will do all my pleasure. Did you know that you're part of his pleasure? You are his pleasure. You know, it's a part of it. Everything he does is for you. It's designed for you. So by the time he got to Lazarus' tomb, he had been dead for 4 days. And Martha came out. Now remember, Martha was the one who was banging pots and pans out the previous chapter. And she learned her lesson. She came out to greet Jesus. She said, oh, if you'd only been here, my brother wouldn't have died. He said, your brother's going to rise again. She said, well, I know he'll rise again in the resurrection. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. Oh, he couldn't wait to say that. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And he that lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? Yeah. She goes, yeah. The King James says, yay. Yay, fairly. Yes. He said, roll the stone away. The stone represented the law. This is so graphic. Roll that stone away. There's nothing to condemn him. Look, this is so rich, so pure, so anointed, so heavenly, so powerful. He said, Lazarus, come forth. Somebody once said, you know, it's a good thing he said Lazarus, otherwise all the graves would open. It's true. You got to be specific sometimes. But God, this is the way God operates. He declares the end from the beginning. He declares the outcome from the inception. He declares the harvest at seed time. He doesn't do anything without declaring it, without purpose, without plan, and declaring it. You were created in the image and likeness of God. The angels weren't. Not even Gabriel can do this. Not even Michael can do this. What you can do. You have the authorization and the right to choose your words and to see them come to pass. Say, really, I do? Well, it's been working for you so far in the negative. Why wouldn't it work in the positive, especially when you got God behind it? When you speak his word, things happen. Power is released. Like I said, in Hebrews 11:3, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the rhema, by the word, the spoken word of God, so that things which are were not made of things which do appear. There are things that do not appear that will form behind your words. If you speak in the negative, there's a spiritual matter that starts to form and frame your world. When you speak the word of God and the blessing and the power, the love of God, there are unseen things that form to back up that word. You frame your world by the words that you speak. This is God, the way it works. And, you know, this shouldn't surprise you. He reveals his purpose and his plans in creation itself. It's right there to tell you his story before it even happens. He says this, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my plan will be established and I will accomplish all my good pleasure. Praise God. You know, I wonder, I know that you all know this principle now, declaring the end from, but I wonder if you've associated in literally every area of your spiritual walk. It is in everything. It's in every area of our spiritual walk. We are, when God created man, he became a living soul. He breathed into him, he became a living soul. Do you know what the real Hebrew says on that? The Hebrew writers have said in the writings of the rabbis, he said, man became a speaking spirit. That's powerful because there was no other thing in creation that were allowed to speak on their own. We were. Angels can't do that. We have a privilege and a power that no angelic host has. They hear and obey. We speak and the world obeys. Our life obeys. Our circumstances obey. Our body obeys when we speak. Jesus instructed us actually to use this in our prayer life. Mark 11:24. What things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. Amen. Now, it doesn't say when you pray, believe that you receive them. So it doesn't say. It says when praying, believe you receive them and you have them. People say, well, that sounds weird. I mean, how can you have something you don't have? We're not talking about having something you don't have. We're talking about believing that you receive and then you'll have. What things soever you desire, when praying, believe that you receive them and then you'll have them. Now, if you believe you have something, don't you think you're going to say it? You ask any child if he believes daddy's going to give him a new fire engine for his birthday. He's going to say it. He's going to blab it to every family member. he's going to do it because he knows that it's as good as his. If his daddy said that. Amen? Here's another thing, too. You know, people think that this is weird. Yeah. Oh, you're just declaring things and they just magically. No, there's no magic about it. You know, if you read this in the newspaper, You would buy it lock, stock, and barrel. You'd swallow it hook, line, and sinker. I mean, but when it comes to being in the Holy Bible, you go, oh, my God, I wonder what that means. Well, it means exactly what it says. It means what it says. That when you pray, you believe you receive and you shall have it. If you believe you have something, say it. Declare the end from the beginning. Do you go into prayer just to throw words in the air? Or do you go for a specific person? Do you sow your seed for a specific purpose? Giving and receiving, sowing and reaping. It's all. Jesus said this in Mark 4:13. He said, don't you know this parable? If you don't know this parable, how then will you know all parables? And the parables infiltrate every area of our life. Sowing the right seed, nurturing the right seed, bringing it before the Father, and releasing your faith in Him and declaring what He says about that seed, that it will grow up and become greater than your need, greater than your problem, greater than anything that is coming against you, any opposition or whatever. It is greater. And the only way you do is put faith in it, put pressure on it, lean hard on it. When it doesn't look like it's going to happen, just lean hard on it and believe that you have received. Amen. That word receive, by the way, means take it. I believe I take it. You got to be tenacious about this. I mean, the devil's not just going to fork it over. He's not going to leave sickness, you know. He's not just going to leave your body just because you say something. No, he's going to check and see if you really believe it. Do you believe it? Do you believe the Word of God is the light, the creative power of God that is able to just drive out and destroy that yoke? Remove that burden? Declare it. Declare it. Declare it. He told us to live this way. See, if you want, here's the thing. New Year's Eve, we said, where do you want to be this time next year? If you want things to change in your life, then you're going to have to change the way you speak, the way you believe, the way you think, the way you look at the Word of God, the way you receive it, the way that you approach the Word of God. You're going to have to change all of that because there's got to be a change in your speaking, in your declarations. Do you know, this is all over in the book of Psalms. You know how many declarations there are in the book of Psalms? I will live and not die, and I will declare the works of the Lord. David talked to his own soul, his own mind. He said, rejoice in the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all. You don't forget his benefits, who forgives all your sins. And he had a lot to forgive, didn't he? Big time. Who heals all your diseases. Who satisfies your what? Your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. But if you don't speak it, if you don't declare it, it's not going to happen because God doesn't force his will on anybody. You are just as much a part of that miracle as he is. You've got to cooperate with God. That woman with the issue of blood, she initiated that miracle. Jesus had nothing to do with it. In fact, he said, what was that? Who touched me? And the crowd got quiet. He said, the disciples said, what do you mean? Who's this throng, this crowd is just pushing you all over them. He said, no, who touched me? Because virtue went out of me. And his eyes slowly went to that woman. And she came and told him all the truth. And he said, woman, great is your faith. Be it done unto you. And she felt it in her. She felt that virtue. You know, Rick Renner one time, he did a couple of times. He fasted 40 days and came out of these fasts. And the second time, there was a group of ministers that were trying to get this person healed. And they called Rick Renner and said, you want to join us? He says, yeah. He went in there and boom, laid his hands on her and said, be healed. That's all he said. Be healed. And she was all set. She just got. Now, you know, Stuff like that settles all arguments. Unless you're just argumentative. That's the way you want to be. That's fine, but you go ahead. Now, last week we looked at, in fact, look at this. Nehemiah, how many declarations were in his prayer? How many declarations were in Daniel's prayers? When Jesus was in the garden, in John 17, that's high priestly prayer when he was transitioning from the minister to the one who was sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Now he's becoming the Passover lamb, the sacrificial lamb, and he's transitioning into his heavenly ministry of intercession for the saints. How many declarations are in that prayer? In fact, look at the Lord's Prayer. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name is a declaration. Thy will be done in earth. That's a declaration. It hadn't even asked anything until he gets down to impasse. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. All declarations in earth. Then he asks, give us this day our daily bread, acknowledging that he is all of that and he is your provider. And forgive us as we forgive. In other words, you're releasing yourself of anything the devil can put on you. I forgive as I've been forgiven. I love as I've been loved. Declaration, declaration. Declare the end from the beginning. Praise God. That's when, I mean, I could go into a lot of things right here, but a lot of times more things come to me than I have time to say. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. We talked about this last week. My son, we're going to go through 23. My son, attend to my words. My son. Boy, doesn't that feel good when he said, my son? My son. My son. My son. Ooh. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart, for they are life to those who find them, and medicine or health to all their flesh. Keep. This is where we come in. Keep your heart with all diligence. For out of it flow the forces, the issues, the wellsprings, the rivers of life. Last week we focused on the first part of this, is attend to my words. And we talked about the word being the light, the creative light of God. Jesus manifested that same light into this world when he said, I am the light of this world. If you follow me, you won't walk in darkness. You don't have to hang around the altar for 2 hours just sobbing and slinging snot just to get something from God. It's already done. Is that graphic enough for you? But look, let's get real. You don't have to do that. Because most of that is just an act. You're trying to convince yourself that things are real. And things are real enough in life that are coming at you. But God is more real and more powerful. He's eternal and they're temporary. Storms come for a season. And they always come for a reason. And if you're in a storm right now, that's all the proof you need that you have not yet been conquered. And as long as you can move your mouth, you can pluck up a tree by the root. That tree that's been producing bad fruit in your life for ever since you were born, that one sin in your life that's destroying and your mind and you destroying you emotionally and everything, pluck it up by the roots. No, man, no, buddy, I'm never going to eat your fruit again hereafter forever. As long as you can move your mouth, as long as you can move your mouth, you can move mountains that are opposing you, that are in your way. Mountains of opposition, mountains of doubt and unbelief, mountains of fear, mountains that you can speak. As long as you can move your mouth, you can move that mountain. As long as you move your mouth, you can speak blessing over your life and remove the curses. Praise God. Where am I here? I know I have notes here. Jesus said this. You know, he says, I'm the light of the world. This is 4,000 years after God created it. Did that light ever grow dim? Is the universe still expanding at the speed of light? Or did he say, okay, stop. No, it's not there. He said, I go prepare a place. You know, people, anyhow, that's another story. What is that light? That light is the light of truth. It is light of revelation knowledge. Look at this. Today we're talking about that second verse, or the second part of that verse. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. I'm just going to go with three verses. Incline thine ear. That's the title of today's message. Incline thine ear. Notice it doesn't say incline thine ears. You ever notice that? It says incline thine ear. So I believe that he is not talking about these ears that hear the verbal words that we're familiar with. I believe he's addressing an inner ear, the ear of our spirit, the ear of our heart, that we should hear and be directed by what that ear hears. This is the more I read through the New Testament and everything, I see that Paul had an understanding of the revelation knowledge of God and how he wants to steer the church, not through what they hear with these ears, but what they hear in their spirit by revelation. You know why? Because the devil can't mess with it. He doesn't know what's going on. It bypasses your enemy and every plan and plot he has against you. It puts you out in the lead, and it leaves him following you, trying to catch up with you. This puts you in the driver's seat. To incline thine ear unto my sayings. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Look at 1 Samuel chapter 9. Here's an example. When God was going to reveal to Samuel, he told him to anoint Saul as the first king of Israel. It says, now the Lord had told Samuel in his what? Ear. The day before Saul came, saying, but he's talking in a spiritual language of impressions, intuitions, promptings, visions, who knows? The Lord had told Samuel in his ear a day before Saul came, saying, tomorrow about this time I'll send you a man out of the land of Benjamin, and thou shalt anoint him to be captain over my people Israel. Again, this is the language of revelation knowledge. It's not a verbal language, verbal words that these ears hear. It's the ear of your heart. The NASB puts it this way. In fact, the NASB calls this revelation. It says in 1 Samuel 9:15, now a day before Saul's coming, the Lord had revealed this to Samuel, saying, about this time tomorrow, I will send a man from the land of Benjamin, and you shall anoint him as ruler over my people. Now, this whole thing sounds strange to a lot of people. And a lot of people exit right here. They just tune it out. Don't do that. Open your heart. Look at this. I looked up several definitions here. Maybe I've got them back here. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Ear, singular. Let me just get my phone out. I have all kinds of things on here. You guys ever do this? Look up definitions. Incline thine ear. Incline. What does that mean? Does it mean to lean? It means to lean. It means to bend away. It means like shut off the noise and listen. Be still. Know what's going on in your heart. It means to apply. Apply these things. Don't ignore that. I grew up in the charismatic movement, And when I was born again, about a year later, I got the Holy Spirit and started getting involved with charismatic people. But I was never told that I was a spirit and God is a spirit, and I need to pay attention to that witness on the inside. The spirit, this witness is with our spirit that we are the sons of God. You've got to pay attention to that voice. That is the leader. Whatever I'm saying to you now, you're hearing it with these. But that's not what you pay attention to. Pay attention to what's going on in your heart when you hear these, because that's the most important voice you can hear. If I'm connecting some dots for you, fine. Let the Holy Spirit bring them to life and show you where you need to go, what you need to do, and what you need to, what steps you need to take. But he says this, incline your ear. There's some other words here. It means to extend. It means to outstretch. Some of us need to stretch this on the inside, because we go to the Word of God with a preconceived notion. Here's something. I've got about 5 minutes here. Let me just do this. Get rid of the preconceived notions and stretch your inner ear to receive what he's saying, because what he says is normally impossible. And so we tune it out. We just block it out. We turn the other way and say, well, how can I, you know, give me something I can use. Well, he is. But you got to have your ear outstretched, and you've got to have it open and be willing to hear and understand what he's telling you. And when you do, nobody will be able to shut you up, because you're going to light up like a Roman candle or something. Praise God. So stretch your ability to understand. Let me say this. You know, years ago, Lori and I were in a little meeting and everything, and this guy said something to her. I tell you, I got a flesh. And it was mean, and it was abusive. And I got a flesh. And I spoke what my flesh was saying. And I said, if you ever talk, you know, you can talk to me any way you want. If you talk to her like that, there's going to be a shape that looks just like you in that wall. See, you got a flesh. And when you're angry like that, when you're offended like that, your flesh is screaming at you. But does your flesh talk to you in words that these can understand? No! You've been operating the same way the whole time. Listening to your flesh instead of listening to the Spirit. This is real stuff. This is getting into your inner man. You are a new creation now. You can stand totally on his word. And his word will uphold you. You know, when Jesus walked on the water, there's a scripture in Psalms saying, the angel's wings will uphold you on the waters. He probably had that verse and said, okay, come on, angels. Uphold me. See, we have authority that they don't have, but they also have power that we don't have. So we need one another. And you need to make a declaration. And when you make those declarations, angels go to work. When you pray in tongues, angels get their assignments. They understand. This is the language of men and angels. They understand what you're saying. Amen. Amen. There's one amen. Do I have two? Do I have four? Revelation knowledge and understanding. This is what Paul prayed. I pray that you would receive the spirit of revelation and understanding and the knowledge of God. Here, not up here. Don't try to figure this out in your head. It'll never work. Your head will explode before it ever receives anything. Right? We're not designed that way to be head-led. We're designed to be spirit-led. Walk in the spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. This is real. This is real. This is equipping. This is empowering. This is life-giving. This is anointed. This causes you to rise up and drip with his anointing and his power, his life. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it flow the forces of life, the issues of life, the love of God, the peace of God, the joy of the Lord, the endurance and strength of God. It's all in there. Praise God. Look with me at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. It says, now we have received not the spirit of the world. The world can't receive this. I mean, to them, this is foolishness. Not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, so we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches. Yes. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual, but the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness to him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Look what the NASB says. It says, now we have not received the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God. We also speak these things, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. These are the spiritual words that your heart, the ears of your heart, your ear will hear. See, Samuel was a prophet. The Holy Spirit rested on him, so he had an advantage that other people don't. But we have an advantage above that of Samuel, because Samuel wasn't born again. He was not a recreated human spirit. The Spirit rested upon him. You are a new creation. This belongs to you. This is yours. But the natural person receives, does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they're foolishness to him and cannot understand them, because they are spiritually what? Appraised. Spiritually appraised. You know, you can appraise something without judging, condemning it. You can appraise it, like place a value on it. And God gives you that freedom. You need to place a value on that voice, that inner voice. On that inner side. Pay attention to that ear. You've been paying attention to it all your life as according to your flesh. Now it's time to say, look, I'm a new creation in Christ. I have an inner ear. I'm going to follow that ear. You know how you recognize that? More and more, the more you read the word, the more you meditate on the word, the more you study the word, the more you get direction from the Holy Spirit in the word, because he'll lead you from one scripture to another, and he's teaching you. He's guiding you into the truth, so that you can extract from it exactly what you need. And the more you read that word, the more you're going to recognize his voice, because it matches up totally. It's the same voice. Amen. It's not the voice of a stranger. Say this, I follow the voice of the good shepherd. The voice of a stranger, I will not follow. Yeah, I know people think this is weird, but this is the way the church is designed. And you are part of that church. I don't care if you're the little toe or a fingernail or a knuckle or an arm. You are part of the body of Christ, and as such, you are just as important. If you are the bottom of his feet, you are necessary to get us where we need to go. Every part of the body is so important and contributes so much. We all have our purpose. We all have a design. We all have something to fulfill that God has given us. This is why when Rick was saying earlier, you know, give us your ideas. You have a valuable gift. Gift of helps. Hospitality. Whatever it is. The gift of helps that's a spirit-empowered gift. Because he is the helper. You get the idea? Incline your ear unto my sayings. He will speak to you. He will speak. Remember, let's go back to Isaiah 46, 9 and 10 again. Remember the former things of old. For I am God, there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning. I'm declaring the end of this year right now. You can declare your own. I'll declare mine. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying. Just because you say it now and you don't pay any attention to it again, that's not going to happen. But he declares the end from the beginning and things that are not yet done, saying, he's continually saying what he said. He's continually saying and watering that seed and watering it until it sprouts up and becomes what he declared from the beginning, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. Your plan, his plan for you, will stand. And he will make sure when you do his word that he will fulfill his pleasure in you, and all your pleasure will be fulfilled. Amen. Listen to that voice. It's right here.
Amen.
It's right here.
Thank you.
Praise God.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Did you get anything out of that? Clap for him, man. He just showed me this, right? Father, we commit ourselves into the hands of the Holy Spirit right now. We ask you, open our eyes. Eyes of our understanding and the ear of our heart. The ears of our spirit. Help us bring to remembrance these words to declare. As Isaiah 43 verse 26 says, declare thou that thou mayest be justified. And when you're justified, the devil has no recourse, because you're justified by God and his word that stands forever. Father, we thank you for the eternal nature of your word, your fruit, your life, your anointing, your power, and your authority. That when you say to us, behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, with a promise that nothing shall by any means hurt you, we will be bold to declare. We will be bold to stand in the face of temptation, tests and trials, storms and oppositions of trees, mountains and storms. Knowing that we stand in eternity with an eternal God, empowered by him to call an end to storms, to call an end to that which opposes us as we follow you. That we walk through the valley of the shadow, knowing that you're there, guiding, leading us. Not trusting in what we see, but trusting by what we believe in the vision that you put in our heart. In Jesus' name, amen.